Hello, everyone. Tracy here, your resident business rebel, and you're listening to Cocktails, Coffee, and Conversations podcast, the show that lets true stories and insider secrets of digital entrepreneur life unfold. Our business world is growing, and as an online business coach and digital product creator, I believe you didn't become an entrepreneur to grin and bear your way through business. So I'll be your guide as we drop in on coaching calls, have intimate sit-downs with online personalities you love, and discuss ideas, opportunities, and strategies circulating our online world. So pop in your earbuds, tap follow, and join me as I demystify this thing called business. Hello, hello, and welcome to Cocktails, Coffee, and Conversations. I am Tracy, and in today's episode, we're back with one of my favorite things to do, answering your questions. You may be a listener who remembers this show has existed for a few years, but only recently changed formats to a podcast. But something that won't ever change is my love for opening the room and taking questions, having laser coaching sessions, and giving you a place to voice what's on your mind without judgment. And since, well, spoiler, this podcast isn't live, it looks a little asynchronous these days. So how can you actually join in? Well, in all of the show notes, there is a link, and on the podcast page too, you'll see an AMA area, Ask Me Anything, where you can drop your questions, even anonymously, for the team to gather and pop over to me for shows just like this one. I'll read your question and give you some coaching or a direct answer. All right? You ready? We actually have two for you today. One is from Joe, and one is, well, anonymous. So let's start with Joe. Joe asks, how do you layer the excitement you have for your offer and all the details you need to include with wanting to be a conscientious seller? Oof. Well, Joe, I would say you've done a big part right there in taking the time to stop and think about how these parts actually play together. Because we can get ourselves into a bit of trouble when we follow advice or templates from someone who we think knows better than us, without stopping to check in with how we feel about the advice, yeah? Or how would it actually feel if we were the one to receive that end product? And that's a big part, you know, because a lot of times we get really excited and we're like, oh, we've done the thing. And it's like, okay, but what if you were the person on the other end to get that? So well done for asking. And if you want some actual tangible help, I will say, as always, start by getting all of your thoughts down on the page. Without any judgment, okay? So, you know, it's great that you started by asking, but now let's actually put pen to paper, fingers to keyboard, turn on voice notes, whatever you need to do. But we don't worry about the order, about phrasing, about missing parts, about anything like that in the beginning, because all of that can be handled in editing. Your main focus is to get your excitement, your ideas, and your information captured, yeah? Once you've done that, then we go back through and we ask ourselves questions. We check to see if anything needs to be reordered or added. And then later comes the actual editing out. All right. So first things first, let's actually capture that excitement that you're talking about and all of the little details that you're thinking about. And don't worry about going in like a certain order. You know, if you have all of the details for what you want to include in your head first, then write those down first. Okay, you don't actually have to write them down in the order that someone's going to eventually read them. Yeah? So once you have done that, here's a few questions that you can actually kind of think about to get you started. And these are just a few of the ones that are possible. Because we want to start by answering questions about them, right? And that's how we start to change it from that mirror looking at ourselves into that window where we're seeing out into the audience. And we think about what are they hiring the service to do for them, the actual service, because we're detaching us from our business, okay? So think about what you're selling. What do they want that to do for them? Next, we'll think about what is their current situation? What's the context that you're walking into? Because you are actually interrupting their flow, right? So from their angle, they're going about their stuff and they're trying to find something to bring into their world. Yeah. So we have to think about what does their world look like? What is their current situation? Okay. then what's the motivation behind why they're driven to find this solution? Are they running away from something or towards something? Because yes, people will move faster when they run away, but they'll go longer and further when they're going toward something. What's the expected outcome they want to get from any solution? And I do say any, not just yours, because, you know, I mean, think about this. It's not personal, number one. And number two, you've probably been there. When you're at that point where you don't even care how it gets done anymore, you just want it done. Yeah? So get to that end point with your human and answer that. And think about, what does that look like when they're just like, I just want it done. And even think about, what does that look like if it just bare minimum gets done? And then what if it gets done and feels good? And what if it gets done and it wows them? And that's a great way to look at the different layers and the different effects that what you're selling can have and the different things that you can put in there. So think about if you'll do a functional or emotional job as well, right? Because there's so many different things that we can do in this online business world. And sometimes it is like, here is this very tangible, very concrete thing. And other times we're bringing relief, we're bringing healing, we're bringing that sense of ease, of joy. But we need to pick one overarching option. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be layers brought in, but we pick one primary, and this will keep you on track and focus your message so you don't bring these other pieces that actually belong in other places, right? That's how you don't feel kind of all over the place, okay? Because one of the big things that I always say is to have what we lovingly call a scrapyard. Because sometimes, you know, especially in the editing process, it's like, oh, this was a great thing to say, but it doesn't belong here. Well, you don't delete it forever. We just put it in the scrapyard because maybe it belongs in a piece of your content. Maybe it belongs in social media. Maybe it belongs in the email copy. Maybe it's something that's better said or belongs in a sales page or a landing page, right? There's so many other places that it can go. It just doesn't belong right there. All right. So we don't get rid of it forever. But whenever you're thinking, am I aiming for a functional or emotional job, then that's just kind of like the way to keep you focused and on track so that way your message really lands. But it doesn't mean another piece of copy or another piece of content can't be doing one of those other jobs, right? So then after we kind of think about those questions from the audience's standpoint, then we use that as like a test to look at our own stuff, yeah? So you started off by writing all of those ideas and all those things down that you had, right? Without the judgment. Then we ask those questions from their perspective. Now we're going to put these two together by looking at your stuff and thinking, does what I wrote match what they've got going on? Okay. So what you have in their world, in their situation, with their motivation, with what they actually want, does that match what you're trying to sell them? Is it just a difference of positioning, which you can also think of as like phrasing and how you set it up for them to understand what you're doing? Or is it a case of wrong audience, wrong offer, and there's not really a match there? Maybe this is an audience that you really want to go after, but you have a different offer that's better. Maybe this is definitely the offer that you want to promote right now, but we need to actually think about one of the other audiences that you can have access to. Yeah, both can be fixed, but identifying it early will save you emotional turmoil and strife. It'll save you a lot of that, how come this isn't landing? What's happening? Why don't these people get it? Right? What am I doing wrong? How come what I'm saying just isn't hitting? That's where that disconnect comes in, okay? So what are you trying to sell to fix that problem that they will agree is the right cure? And that's where that disconnect can come in sometimes, right? So we use this to think, are we in agreement with what the issue actually is? Is what we're saying and what they're saying the same thing? Now, if I'm introducing the solution, if the way I'm introducing it, are they going to see where that alignment is? Yes or no? Yeah. And then what sort of proof can I show them so that way they can understand that I'm not just making stuff up? And that can be, you know, the credibility. It can be people that have done it before. It can be your story of what you've gone through, It can be the container that you've created so that way it ushers them in where they're headed. And then, of course, the actual offer itself, which if you've heard an earlier episode where I talked about it, you know, the offer isn't just what you're selling. It's also how you are presenting it so that way it is irresistible to the reader. But you lay out the problem in a way that guides them to care about how you are choosing to solve it as well. Okay, so that's the 1, 2, 3 we have going on here. Yeah. So the first part is getting all of it out of your head without any judgment, writing it all down. Then the second part is asking the questions, which I gave you just a few examples to start with that will put you in their shoes from their point of view. Then the third part is looking back at what you had written and seeing if there is alignment and what adjustments need to be made, right? So as long as it is the right offer for that audience, then let's make sure that the word parts are accurate, yeah? And that's that 1, 2, 3 part for you. Now, I have a free resource that you can get at any time. It's called the Quick Guide to a Work With Me page that reflects you. And it is the 4 sections that any page needs for you to sell while still putting the people first, okay? The 4 sections are laid out, plus there's questions that you can ask yourself to tailor it to your business and to your values, all right? Plus there's an opportunity to buy a training where I walk you through the history and the why of these 4 sections to empower your future decisions, okay? I'll also show you live examples and how to change the common templates that you're given. And then I show you how I changed a client's Work With Me page into one that actually sold out. So you can grab that at any time. The Quick Guide to Work With Me pages that reflect you freebie, as well as you can buy that training, and it will walk you through all of those pieces. Now, throughout answering your question, Joe, I've been talking a lot about writing, but I will say that once you have done this exercise in written form, it makes the conversation variations easier as well. Because of the care and the thought that you put into laying out your offer, if you're putting together a pitch and a talk or having a sales call or even just a conversation that makes you think, oh, they need to know about this, it'll flow more naturally because of this work. And present you will think past you. And I want to thank you, Joe, for asking this question because it was a great one. And I hope that you took a lot of this. And remember, there's always transcripts so you can grab these 3 parts of what I just laid out for you. So next up, we will answer the question from Anonymous. And they asked, what happens when you're supposed to be an expert, but you're afraid of not having the answer or of not being certain or able to explain yourself? That's a good question, Anonymous. So what happens when you're supposed to be an expert, but you're afraid of not having the answer or of not being certain or able to explain yourself? Yeah, well, first I will say you're not alone in that. Not at all. We've all felt this at times in business situations or in personal ones, right? Because sometimes we have a bit more confidence in one area of our lives than others, right? Or when we're surrounded by some people more than others, but that's okay. And the fact that you've voiced this fear, it actually helps it not have as much control over you. And that's pretty cool too, right? And it's okay to realize that there may be some layers that you're playing with and that different parts need to be untangled or like will show up at different times as well. Yeah. So you'll feel like, oh, okay, I've gotten over this part only for another part to kind of surface. And that's also perfectly fine, right? Is you can be afraid of attention, but also have that desire to help others. Or you can feel lost, or you can fight being boxed in because you're not secure in your own thoughts or feelings, or you haven't quite come to terms with what those even might look like. Yeah? You know, and people can have past trauma with someone who's made them feel small or embarrassed, or they've been hurt when they tried to put themselves out there. And now when you try to do it again, part of you is trying to protect yourself. And that's what keeps coming back. That's why some of it will resurface in layers. And all of that is okay. But also none of that is a reason to be held back. And did you hear that part? There's nothing about this layering of feelings or of causes that needs to hold you back. So let's do a reframe and give ourselves a permission slip to feel into all of it and to know that it's more important to contribute to a conversation than to actually have an answer. because we don't have to be the ultimate authority. I mean, even when I'm answering things on a podcast, you'll hear me say, ask me anything, and if I don't know it, I'll ask a guest, right? Because it's okay to say that we are working through something, thinking through, feeling through things. It's okay to say you need some time to give a complete answer, or to say that you can give a gut response, but a full response needs to come later. It's okay to say you don't know, so let's find out together. It's also okay to say, well, what do you think? You know, we often build up situations in our head by replaying them over and over again, even if they haven't actually happened yet. And we often look at other, you know, experts in our field, and we get caught up in comparison traps. Or for those of us who came from academia or corporate, we think about those expectations and of not looking weak. Well, like, you get to make up your own rules now and decide how you want the people in your community to feel and how you want them to be able to express themselves. There doesn't have to be oppressive behavior, and we can lead by example on that. And yes, it's also okay to change in baby steps. You have control. You can curate what you answer, how you show up, and the embodiment of the transparency and the okayness of not knowing. You don't just have to keep asking questions to understand more or to buy yourself time. You can ask questions that will help to edify the situation, but also open it up to the group if there's other people in the room. Talk about a story of how it happened for you, like a parable option, right? And just saying that you appreciate the question, but at this point, you're not sure if you have a specific answer. So why don't we work through it together? These are just some of the options, and by all means, it's not an exhaustive list of things that you can do to integrate that fear of not having all the answers, right? But that's a big part. I mean, you already realize that that's something that's kind of giving you the feels, yeah? So what is it that would make you feel comfortable? And then you can practice that. You can practice that in safer spaces, whether that's like bigger rooms, smaller rooms for you virtually in public. You can also practice that to yourself or in the mirror and say, oh, that's a great question. Well, let's figure this out together. Or let's see if I'm understanding that. Are you asking this and this? Well, why don't you tell me a little bit more about that? Well, if I was to ask you, what would you say? Well, does anybody else in the room have thoughts on this? Feel free to drop it into the chat while me and insert name keeps talking through this. Well, I'm not really sure, actually. This isn't my area, but I do know a lot of people, and so I'm happy to find out for you, right? There's lots of those kind of things that we can play with and say. So pick a few, write a few of your own, but just know that giving yourself that permission and doing that reframe of saying that it's more important to contribute to a conversation than to be the ultimate authority and to be the only one to have the answer, right? That's the key part there. And thank you very much for that question, Anonymous, because that's a big part that can hold a lot of people back. And I love that you were able to put this out here. And please let me know your thoughts, and Joe, you as well. If you have follow-up questions, feel free to ask those. You can always ask support@tracypatterson.com. But otherwise, you've got this. I do believe in you. And for everybody, if you have a question, you can always submit it at tracypatterson.com/AMA. And until the next episode, be well and have some fun.